Chad wasn't right in the beginning of visiting Mr. Weaver this Sunday about dark, the 19th of September, 71. I didn't write this up at the time. I think this is right, though. Channel 1 right, beginning to visit Mr. Weaver this Sunday about dark, 19th of September, 71.
You know, and I used all my, but I first soak it in sulfur and grease and kerosene, usually. Then you can take that blue or that green alcohol they got out now, you know, in that green bottle.
Yeah,
and,
with that.
And pour that in out. That's good, too.
Oh, yeah.
But that medicine that man put on last Sunday out there, I smelled of it. I've used that way back when I was a kid. And I started to go to work with the company that put out, let's see, Raleigh. You remember, Cologne's liniment, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, Raleigh put out liniment, and he first put out that white, like that fellow had a Sunday out here.
Oh, he did.
Raleigh was the first one I ever seen, way back when I was a kid. I had all time experimenting on all that stuff and checking, and that white, and it smelled just exactly like that, what he had smelled just like Raleigh's.
Was that cookie?
Yeah. Of what he put on that Sunday when I was out here. I believe it was Sunday I was out here, wasn't it?
Yeah,
yes,
sure.
Sunday. Was Sunday afternoon? Yeah, Sunday afternoon.
After your
fox. Yeah, we went over there Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Didn't. I think two of my dogs were running back in there. We hadn't seen them in a long time. But there's another old dog barking. We couldn't tell. And they must have run into them somewhere. They treed, I believe they had something treed down there. And I drove back out into the grove. But this other old bunch of dogs was in there, just loafing dogs, a bunch of them. Now that's what people shouldn't do, is have all those kind of dogs. That's what causes lots of our good dogs to get killed. Now if someone to come along there and get in there shooting them, they'd shot my two good dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking there's it running something I wouldn't have been running.
Mr. Weaver, what'd you say you would put on there, her foot before you put that kerosene in?
Well, the first thing, now for that cow there, I don't think there's anything from what he said. That salt will draw all that infection out of there and eat that all out, draw that out, and you don't have to scrape it out. If you start right at you could start as long about the first, you know. And kerosene will kill any germ. And when you mix that in with sulfur and grease, because
that's just that plain powdered sulfur?
Yeah. Just comes in bulk. But they got to where now then they're playing like and putting stuff, trying to keep people from using things like that. And says poison, you know, and all like that. Well, it takes one poison to kill another germ.
Uh-huh.
And it's simple. If all you got to do is just read up on everything. You see, reading I learned, and like the chiropractic treatment, was when I was a kid, I noticed every liniment you had says rub well. That you never read on a piece of telling you how to use it, besides it says rub well. And I got the same figure on that when I was a kid. I said, well, you know, it all says rub well. And I said, I'm going to leave the liniment off and do some rubbing without it. And I found out, by the way, it's doing much good as, or more than the liniment does. The rubbing does.
The rubbing.
Yeah, the rubbing, it does. And you know, and I got to notice it and doing that. Well, doctors and nurses told me not to rub on just this way.
Mm-hmm.
You told me just how to rub this way. That don't do me any good. I got to get out in there and do this way and make right in just like I showing y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And that moves those clots, blood clots. And the varicose veins and blood clots at all, and hardening of the arteries practice the same thing. It all works along together. Now, see, doctors now don't explain and tell you anything, but they used to tell us when I was a kid. And I'd always get in with the doctors, you know, and lots of times that they'd want someone to go with them out to see the patients and need to hold them. A lot of times there's cuts that need sewing up or arm broke or set, and I'd just take hold of them. They'd ask me to help them hold them, and I'd hold them and all that and watch how they did it all. And anyone that's sick, I always went to see about them, you know, and see if I could help them anyway. A lot of times I'd go to places, you know, back in those days, didn't have nursing hospitals like we got now, you see. And all insurance and people couldn't go to. And the doctors had to go out to the homes. Most of them, they didn't have no place to keep the patients, you see. And so the doctors want someone to set up with the patients, you see. Well, we'd all take time about doing that and go and see it about helping. And they're like two farmers out there, you know, would so it'd be sick, you know, in the family, and they couldn't wait on and do the farming. Well, all of us go right out there, and one day, you know, give them a day's work. It didn't hurt us, you know. We didn't lose nothing much. Didn't give it about 40 and 50 cents a day, and maybe a dollar. Now, a dollar was a high price. A day for all day's work. All right, we'd go in there, and even just in 2 or 3, clean out a one man's crop, you know, and things like that. And the people that went to church, you know, they found out that in that way, the preachers and people like that would come in there, and church members, they'd go in there and go to the rest of us. Let's go and look out those people. I've seen preachers get out there back then and just work and see them washing the shoes up after they'd worked in the mud and water and stuff and help to come rain while they was working out there, and they all had to wait out. Well, up by North Alabama's muddy, you see.
Yeah.
All right, we didn't know nothing for that and things like
well,
that.
Well, hello.
Hey, how are you? I thought I'd fool you.
Well, I'm glad to see you, Mr. Weaver.
Well, glad to see you. I thought I'd slip out here and fool you.
You're just sitting back there down the back. What are you all talking about?
Well, sir. Mr. Weaver came to see about that cow.
Tell me what you're talking about then.
Well, let's go ahead and I wanted to find out about the cow, you know. I've been thinking and wondering.
Well, what was you talking about just then, Faye?
Well, we'll tell that in a minute.
Okay, in Alabama, in that helping each other when they needed to get the crops in.
Oh, working out the crops?
Sick, uh-huh. Yeah, someone sick, you know, and patient didn't have hospitals in and nurses to do that. And people would have to go in and do that work, neighbors would go up there, maybe you'd go around there, and you'd been resting there every night, you know, and you'd go to a place, and the poor people had just hadn't had any rest in several days. Well, I went there just to go up to visit them and check, maybe stay a little while. I'd tell them all to go to bed, and I'd sit up all night that night, then the next day, I would go back home and eat breakfast and go on to work. Well, the other people do the same thing. If we got sick, they'd come see us and help us.
Yeah.
And so that's just like coming out here and looking at that cow, you know. I'm used to that and helping someone do it. I'm afraid to say very much, afraid that people think I think I'm smart, but I'm not. I'm very ignorant myself.
And Mr. Weaver, you...
I'll put my britches on, and we'll walk out there.
Yeah, I didn't think I'd have time run out in the morning, and...
And a lot of people then could work, Mr. Wheeler.
Oh, my goodness, Larry. As sorry as I am now, in the bad shape that I am, and I can't do a fourth of a day's work in 8 hours now, of what I used to do back then.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and we'd come in, I could lie down on the porch, come in, I'd work till this time, you know, before I'd get in and feed up.
Sure.
I'd go and lie down on the porch a little bit, then I'd rest a little, and going in, lie down, I'd turn over like a mule, and it'd just rest you.
Yeah.
And get up, and after a while, maybe I'd take my dogs and go hunting. Or go and see someone that's sick.
Yeah. and just lay down there on the porch. On
just
the,
lay on,
the,
on a hard porch. It
on
felt
a hard
good
board.
When you started
on
out.
A soft board, Mr. Wheeler.
Yeah, just a hard porch. Not even nothing but the porch there. Felt good.
And
I've done this. I've stopped and I've seen mules and horses water, and I wondered how what effect would that have.
Yeah.
And I began to get tired, you know, and without plowing, you see, I'd put my watch out and I'd lay it down over and I'd lie down and I'd water over, and you know, it just relaxed me. Just turning over like a mule or horse. Well, you'd be surprised. Just 5 minutes now, then I went back to work. That's all I'd take out of 5 minutes that I'd ever stop when I was plowing and working on the farm. It didn't hurt me. I'd be tired, but man, back then we had something to eat. What we do now, we have to run and get this little knick-knack and canned goods and eat. And we, it's not like having it right there at home and going and having three or four pots of different things when you come in to work. And the whole family didn't eat alike, you know. We'd have about four or five different kinds of vegetables. Peaches and apples, we had peach pies and all like that, and all kind of, we saved it ourselves, good on the farm.
You could be out there plowing, and you could just take out and lay down on the ground, sort of wallow like a horse.
And relax a little bit and get up, and you know, I felt a whole lot different.
And you
right
watched
there.
The animals do that.
Yeah, I watched the animals. When you would come in and turn them loose, the mule and horse, we'd plow them hard. And when they got down, the first thing they did is hunt a place to lie down, wallow and rest. And then they'd get up and shake, you know, and then they'd go and drink the water.
Yeah.
But they won't let that, they won't lie down and relax first.
Oh, well, what do you know?
And you see, I figure this, that you had to study and learn. You could learn by watching different things.
Yeah.
The way I learned how to carpenter was passing by other carpenters and watching, maybe some of them would tell and some of them wouldn't.
And then the doctors, you learn.
Well,
that's
the doctors, I always want me to go with them and ask me if I'd go with them. I'd see a patient a lot of times. Sometimes I'd have a T model, and since I came to Florida, I'd have a T model, and they'd have larger cars, and we didn't have no highways then. And in the wintertime, and it's wet and everything, you couldn't drive nothing hard. I'd get out there with a T model. Well, they'd be so large, and doctors asked me, said, how about getting you to go out there? I said, I'll pay you to go out there. Well, I'd close up the barber shop, you know. Maybe I went out there when there's five or six of them had the flu with a doctor. Well, this doctor, you know, would get me to go. He'd say, how much I owe you? I said, you don't owe me anything. All right, maybe if he could tell me anything, help me, he'd do that, you see.
Yeah.
And it was a whole lot more than me and taking his money.
Now, you done that when you were down here.
Yes, I came to Florida, too. You see, I used to do it up in Alabama.
Oh, you did up there, too?
Yeah, man. Of course, I didn't have a car up there, you know. I didn't get a car in about 22 or 3. It was when I first bought the first T model.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the doctors would have cars that they couldn't go out in those country roads, you see. And Dr. Roseburg, that oldest doctor, you know, I was telling you about, would always tell me a lot. He said he had, first year I had my car in the wintertime, cold, freezing. And he said he had an ethic, his clothes on the ground. He says, I just cannot go out there to see those patients, and I need to go tonight. And he says, how about driving me? He says, there's plenty of help out there. One place just before we get to the house, we may get stuck. But said there'll be plenty of help there, and they can pull us out or anything. Well, there's my customers too, you see, and his. So I took them in the car, and we went out there, you know. All right, when they wanted to get a car then, I was selling cars, and they wouldn't buy a car from nobody but me. Because didn't forget me coming out there and bringing Dr. Roseburg. He told them, he said, I couldn't have got out here, I don't believe. If it hadn't been Mr. Weaver coming with me and helping me out. And when,
now, where was that? Mr.
That's here in Florida. I was out here at the Mixon's. Old man Ben Mixon. He's been dead a long time. And there's
old
five.
Man Ben Mixon.
Old man Ben
and
Mixon.
Miss Lily.
Yeah. Do you ever see them?
No, sir. That was a little before my time down here.
That's who it was.
Yeah.
And he'd always call me the little barber, you know. Always told a lot of the little barber, you know.
Yeah.
The other fellow weighed about 210 to 230 pounds old time. And they called me, they couldn't take my name, they'd say little barber. Back at that when I first came down here. He was from, Mr. Wynn was from Stevenson, Alabama. And I was up there, but I came from up there between Norville, and we'd moved from up in Winston County from Delmar on Route 1. I was just a star route. That, and my uncle was a postmaster on the star route. My granddad was a postmaster at Delmar. I don't know where they got rural routes out to there now. I don't know where they still have that post office in Delmar now or not.
Well, look, Mr. Ben's been gone a long time.
I know he has.
And now, what was the sickness that time when you took the doctor?
Flu. There's five of them had the flu. And they had it bad, too. There's a big bunch of them, about seven or eight of them. And there were but three of them, by the way, up to wait on the other one. But the people and sons and things and people come in there to help them, you know, and waited on them.
Yeah.
And seen about it. It's good around here. We used to just as sure as in Sunday school up here, and I came here to see. I went to church all the time then. And we had BYPU and Christian Delvin, different ones, and I'd go around, you see. And when they'd have special things, we had a quartet. Two of them, one that played piano was C.O. Nelson's wife. And he was a good singer, and he was from Georgia. He was a good singer, and Mr. Wynn was a good singer, but you never could teach him any signs or notes or anything. He never could learn. But let me tell you what, so. People have always come to hear Mr. Wynn sing that bass in the quartet. Now, you already heard that man sing. None of these over. By the way, I didn't think about it. I brought my radio and stayed a few minutes, but I didn't have time really to come out here.
Yeah.
I want to get back and may go out a little hunting in the morning. I may not.
Yeah.
I don't have no places to go, to tell you the truth. I'm afraid to turn loose most of the place.
Yeah.
Then this football game, you know.
Yeah.
I wouldn't turn loose tonight at all. If they started across the highway running anywhere.
Mr. Ben, was he down himself?
Yeah, he was one of them that was sick.
Yeah.
He was sick in they had the two-story building, and there's two or three of them upstairs.
Oh.
And we went out there to see him. Well, you know, I still like to do anything like that. I'm afraid to do anything or say anything much now. Just like this chiropractic treatment. For a long time.
Did you ran into him every now and then? What did he look like, Mr. Wheeler?
He was a big, strong man. He was a heavier set man than you are.
Yeah, but tall? Tall?
Yeah, tall as you are, I guess. And he was heavier. But none of his boys weren't quiet. Some of them was nearly as large as he was, but most of them took correct back after his mother. The mother's side, you see.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, you take Everett Smith, remember seeing him, that boy came out here. They live right close to them, you see, just on around just a little far around the Kuwait Road around there.
Yeah.
Maxie still lives there, I think, on the old mixing place.
Yeah.
Maxie mixing does.
Yeah. How far back do you take Mr. Maxie?
Oh, back in about. I cut his hair in about 22, all those fellas there. I went to run the bar. I went to work in the barbershop after I came here. See, I'm on the truck farm, and I decided to come down here and work a year on the farm. And when I got down here, times were hard, and I didn't have money to farm like they were down here, you see. And
it took money.
took lots of money. That somebody would furnish you if you get out there and work, but maybe. Now, I furnished one fella myself after I kind of got on my feet, you know. And first little bunch of beans was shipped, you see. They writ me back for I told them to put them in the other fella's names, you know, and they put them in my name, and they writ me back for $8 express charges. Well, I had to buy the beans and the hampers, you know. And they didn't have the money to buy the hampers. They're supposed to pay for it, you know. Well, it didn't make nothing, so I lost all I put in it. I bought them, I left that 35 hamper that we made the first shipment out there in the field. And when they written me back for $8 express charges, you know what I did? I drove out there and told them, I said, you all pick these, yeah, I'll give you those hampers. You all pick these beans. If you can get anything out of it, I'm going off on my vacation.
What did Miss Lily look like, Miss?
What did say?
What Miss Lily look like?
I don't know. I can't say for sure. I don't remember just exactly.
Yeah. They went out there to the Flemington.
They lived between Flemington you know where that Ralph place is, crossroads out there?
Yeah.
When you turn to the right, you went down that, of course, that's all just old country roads.
Yeah.
We went out there at that
yeah.
time. Mud holes, no ditches, no bridges across those places. We'd go down in there. You could see where those old T-model 21-inch wheels we had to have. Then we'd go to the ground.
Yeah.
Little old wheels, you know, tires about that large around is all as large as they was.
Yeah.
But you see, if you got stuck, I could walk around and pick up one. I'd back up and pick up one side of the wheel that way and let someone put something on it. And I picked
yeah.
it up.
Yeah.
I guess you have too, haven't
yeah.
you?
That's right.
But you didn't use the T model. Yeah, I don't guess. See, I use them from about 22 or 3 on up to quit making them and went to making an A model, and I got me an A model.
Miss Lily and Mr. Ben had a house full of children.
Yeah, that's, I forgot how many did they have?
I think they had 7 girls and 3 boys. Now, the two of the boys are still out there.
They had more boys than that. They had, Henry.
Miles lives out there.
They had Miles is one of was their grandson. Miles makes them that lives out there.
That's their grandson.
Yeah, that's Ben's the grandson.
Oh yeah.
Now see, there's
I thought it was Sybil's brother.
Who?
Sybil Tilly, Mad Willie. She talks about her brother Miles. Well, anyhow, and who owns all the place now? That's,
Well, Max, they divide up in different parts of it. They own
yeah,
that
one.
Yeah,
but one man owns it all. They sold it all to him.
Well, Max is the youngest boy.
His name's not
Max. See, there's Henry and Maxie and...
Maxie,
see? There are 4 or 5 of those boys.
What's the
difference? Yeah. Yes, sir, there's 4 or 5 of those boys. Let's see, Wilbur and... Let's see, 1, 2, 3.
Now, is Mr. Ben Mixon's family?
Yeah, Ben Mixon, there's 5 boys.
Yeah.
I know of. There's 5 of those boys.
Yeah.
And how many girls do you say there was?
I've
forgotten how many girls.
There's a whole lot, because only...
About 7, didn't you say?
I thought so. 7 girls.
There was a bunch of those girls. One of them married... one of those girls married... let's see... There's one married the Rattery and one married the Gladney and there's a bunch of those girls.
That's not one of the Mixon girls that married Gladney out there that died.
Harvey Gladney?
Yeah.
His mother was a Mixon, one of Max's and those boys' or sisters. His mother was a Mixon, and she married a Gladney. And
yeah.
Henry Mixon lived right off the road there, one of the boys from her.
Yeah.
From where Harvey lived in there.
Yeah. What happened to Harvey?
He died. He had, let's see, what was it he was wrong with him? I believe he had TB or something like that.
Yeah.
Something like that.
But now his wife's pretty well to do now, isn't she?
Well, I don't know. Now her brother-in-law, one of Harvey's sisters, that he run the Coca-Cola plant in Ocala. Now he had he had the most of everything in front of him. And they was in together, and Harvey looked after it, you know, out there. But he was worth a whole lot of money. I don't know just how much Harvey was worth. Not too much, I don't think. But I imagine that her sister, Harvey's sister and they still helped them out there after Harvey died. I know they had a farm back over there on Levy Lake, back in there towards, between Levy and Ledford Lake, back on Ledford, really. Lake, and now they had a place there, and then Harvey and them. Harvey lived at the old Gladney home place, you know. And I imagine that his sister got that over there and on the lake, and maybe some of that around the place there. I think they kind of worked together, he and his brother-in-law.
You know that one little road around there that goes...
Yeah, make off. That little cut up in there?
Yeah, by Maxie's, and on back up there and comes out on the other road there at Lawrence...
Lightning. No, not Lawrence Lightning, it comes over there and see what the other... It's Lawrence lives on down below on the other. You're thinking about Ernest Lightner, I believe it is.
Well,
and Ben comes out right from Ben, and Ernest is coming down in there, then comes on back down there by Peasters and Zetrows, the road goes up this way. It leaves, here's the Flemington Road, it leaves coming up this way and goes up the hill to the right back in here, and Harvey right up here. Then he comes right back and get on this road out here,
turns
back right up that way to that highway going out of it.
Now there's two little roads that's left, Mr. Weaver.
There are two up there on the hill, there.
The one you're talking about, and then the one that went
comes out there, it's a piece of jet rails down in there. That's just one road turned over, but up there at Ben Lightner's and Jake Lightner. Old Jake Lightner lived right back on the highway there, and Ben lived over here on his on the other side. And Lawrence lived Ernest lived right out there.
Yeah.
I went out there and
well, I'm talking about the road where Mr. Ben and Miss Lily live.
Oh, you
that old road we're talking about. Them two roads.
No, this road I'm talking about is up by Fort Harvard Lightning.
Yeah, I know that. I say those two roads.
Oh, yeah, back in the other. Yeah, that's right.
Two of the old roads
are
still there.
Yeah, two of the old roads still there. And the rest of it's all been changed.
All of it's been changed.
All the rest of it's been changed. But those two roads, that's the old road.
Yeah.
And there used to be a road went right on the other way, Interstate 75, and turned, it go across it right out China. It crossed on over there at the corner, right at Denton's corner over there. And that road went right through there. That used to be the road right through the scrub there. Going on to Flemington, it went down there, but that route, when they built that and grade it, paved that, they changed it and pulled it down to that way, straighten it out.
You know, it's a shame there's not enough territory left in there to run your dogs, but it's not much.
You take that Interstate 75, went right through some of the best hunting over there. You can go over and get about middle way there and just turn your good dogs loose. Now, the sorry dogs, you need to go in there.
Yeah.
You had to have good ones. I could just go out to the edge of a town, turn my dogs loose, you know, and come back, and I had puppies, you see, when I was crippled and couldn't work at all, and I had to raise some dogs, you know, and I raised them, sold them then, and trained them, but I'd take my old dog, turn them loose, and I'd come back and get the puppies and take out there, then by the time I'd go back out in there, there'd be a running one, I'd sit down and turn the puppies loose, and they'd stay the old dog. And I didn't train them, they trained themselves. I couldn't drive. I couldn't stand my foot on the accelerator at that time.
Yeah.
And it was rough.
Yeah.
I wasn't getting any check either. See, I was sick so long, so I used all my money up and got in debt, about $200-$400. And then I eventually got to where I could go back and work a little bit, and I soon paid everybody off.
Mr. Reeve, back there where you're talking about having people when they clean out the crop and one thing or another. Now, the preachers, too. A lot of the preachers there.
Yes, sir. They've seen about that, too. But they're afraid to do anything.
Not many of them. Now, there's one over here at Rochelle. He works. I don't mean Rochelle, at Windsor. And the man before him works. Now, he's a plumber, and the man before him was a battery man.
Oh, which church is that? That's got three or four churches at Windsor.
Baptist Church over there.
Baptist Church over there?
Yeah.
Well, you take, now, if you're talking about somebody.
Both of them are workers.
I reckon so.
Yeah.
And they're the old, they
now, that battery man, the preacher that sold batteries, his hand was all stained with acid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just couldn't hardly believe it, could you?
Yeah.
Well, now, these people that won't work and don't do anything. Now, it's all right if you're going around and helping the sick people and going around and doing something for them.
Now, that's what happens. That's that little Baptist church over there. They pick out their own minister. Now, on this little
Baptist
this
Baptist
little,
is strict. Because I'm a Baptist myself.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, the old primitive Baptist, you know, I was the first church, Protestant church there was, primitive Baptist.
Yeah.
And the missionaries, there's a branch all from the primitive Baptist. I belong to the missionary Baptist.
Course, you were under primitive?
What'd I say?
You were under
primitive? My father and mother was primitive Baptist, my grandmothers and all them was primitive Baptist.
Yeah.
And, boy, they didn't let you do nothing on Sunday. There's nothing. Or you could go and feed livestock or something like that, but you didn't do anything.
As the Lord said.
Yes, sir. You had to keep that. Now you go out and feed the stock and water them, see if they got water or something like that. Well, that's all we did on Sunday.
Well,
I know one. Let me tell you this. One day I was sitting there and my dad had riding a mule. And the mule got stumbled, stepped on the shoes, and he had elongated, and they had the blacksmith let the shoe be too little long that way, and he went to step, and when he did, he stepped on his front foot, a shoe, and he threw him down, and my father didn't know to put his feet out like I did, and he pulled his legs to the mule. And he fell over and sprained his ankle on a mule did on his leg. And I told him, I said, Daddy, I said, you ought to put your foot out when that mule fell. Well, you just put out, spread your legs out, and then when the mule got up, but I said, you just hung to the mule and went down with it. I said, if you'd have done that, I said, I've had him fall me. But I put my feet out there and stand up for the mule to get back, and I'd be back in the saddle. A horse or what it was. Some of them was bucking with me, trying to throw me.
Yeah.
And, of course, now, see, he didn't do it. He wasn't afraid. He'd ride, but he didn't know how to ride.
Yeah.
He'd pull his feet in and hold tight hold with his heels. You don't do that.
Yeah.
Because you got to, you grip with you from your knees down to ride a horse and stretch your body to be limber up this way.
When I was out on a Sunday?
Huh? Yeah, we started the church. And so we had some oats cut. He had some oats out there, and it looked like it was his. I worked for myself. I think myself, you know, I just hate to see those oats lie there. It didn't shock them, you see. And what's called shocking, put eight in a bundle standing up this way, and then take two or three and spread over them, you know, to make that water run off. Nothing, and they'd keep that way, too. But if you let them lie down, a lot of times they'd mold, you see, if it come a rain on them. We'd cut them with a cradle and tie them, and they didn't think about it coming up the rain, you know. Usually it didn't, you see. It thought it'd be all right to let them, didn't get had so much, didn't get it all out by Saturday night, you know. So I was sitting there on the porch, I seen the cloud coming up, and I just got up and walked over there in the field, and I was working for myself, you know, and I just went picking up those oats, and I'd pick up and I'd get 8 or 10 in my arm, you know, then I'd use 2. After a while, I felt something move on my foot. Every time I picked up a bundle of oats, I felt something move on my foot, and I jumped back, and I was a rattlesnake lying there. That Sunday afternoon, you see. And I must have just headed right straight towards me, just could have bit me just as easy. And I jumped back, and I called him. They brought another gun over there, and I shot it. Killed it. Had 9 rattles in the button.
Is that right? Sunday afternoon.
And that was the worst thing I'd went out and done like that, you know.
Well, I heard you.
But
I heard your daddy's going to get after you.
No, they didn't get after me. Nobody didn't tell me to do it, you know. I said, it's not mine. I'm not working myself. I'm doing what someone's heard. I'm going on out there and shock them. I said, I don't think there'd be any harm in that. You know, the Bible tells you that if the ox falls in a ditch on Sunday, take it out. But don't push it in. Don't plan to work that day. Don't push it in to get to take it out. It plainly tells you all of that. I'm not a preacher, and I commit sins and all like that, but I have to pay for it when I do it. I'm punished for it.
Well, it was nice, Mr. Weaver, to have to grow up like that with people that were primitive Baptists and were strict.
Well, you that take the Baptists done that, and Methodists did when we had Sunday school and BYPU. Well, the BYPU was from the Methodists, you know. But there wasn't so many of us, and we had another class that we went to, you know, for the children, you know, and let the small ones to all go and had teachers, you see, and Sunday school teachers. And you know, some old people, you know, was my teachers, one of the oldest persons in the town here when I went for came to Florida. I went to church Sunday school first Sunday I came here. Out here. I was out in the country, but I walked in town. About 2 miles and a half in town that day I was done to Sunday school. I was used to it, and I wanted to do it, you know. And, you know, when I came here, I tried to do like I did up there in Alabama, and when I was up in Tennessee, I went to church and Sunday school every Sunday I was up there. And I stayed there about 8 or 10 months up there in Tennessee.
Well, now these.
Those people do the same thing up there in Tennessee, just like we did down in Alabama back then. I don't know whether they still do that or not.
Mr. Weaver, these Methodists, though, on this little circuit, Evanston and Lickanope and Shiloh and all, they haven't had a preacher since I've been out here who could work.
No.
Not one of them could do anything that I found out.
They
couldn't even change spark plugs in an automobile. I know this one they had here. There was a big talker over there one time. He used to stand there and talk to Buster, and I'd hear him telling him about how to do masonry and one thing or another. Well, I don't think he could do masonry. I think he just showed us
I can lay little blocks, but I can't stand cement 3 days, and I never could lay brick blocks. I wanted to do that. Now, if I'm building a house, going out there and I can lay the blocks, you know, and I do that. That don't take
me. Now, your Baptist preacher now over there, Kent, he don't work.
I don't think, no, they quit that. They used to. They'd work, you know, but they don't now. And they go around and visit the sick, you know. They don't do that much anymore. They just go to there and preach and expect to get a certain salary.
Yeah.
Well, you know, back to preachers up there, the old Primitive Baptist preachers wouldn't work on us, wouldn't preach on the salary, wouldn't accept the salary.
Yeah.
They wouldn't?
No, sir. It plainly tells you not to do that. The Bible plainly tells you that, and they went by it.
Yeah.
And now then, and I never seen one of them yet. One didn't have a good farm and was kind of wealthy. I never seen one of them. And I'll tell you another thing. They could go in any of those towns, didn't matter if they belonged to the old Primitive Baptist, and go right in there and go in a strange town, and they didn't ask them no questions, tell them anything they wanted on the credit. And they'd pay you. They wouldn't buy anything they couldn't pay.
Yeah.
If you didn't pay your debts, you didn't belong to that church.
Yeah.
Now, they ain't like it is now, heck, well, if you don't beat somebody, you ain't done nothing now.
No.
I don't mean I shouldn't say a thing like that, but it is true.
Yeah.
That's kind of knocking.
Cougar said your car was running pretty good, Mr. Weaver.
When I, that gas I put in was what it was. Today I put in a different kind of gas and it runs like a Cadillac.
But he said it would run pretty good. You had trash in it. He got some of the trash out of your carburetor.
No, he just adjusted it.
He got the trash out.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, don't you know when he stopped it up?
Oh, I didn't bother watching just what he's doing. I thought he was just adjusting.
If we can catch him anytime, you
is he a mechanic?
Oh, he's a good mechanic.
I thought he must be because he acted like a mechanic.
He won't tell you wrong.
Is he working the runner in the garage or working with someone else over there?
No, he not now. He has had a garage.
Oh, if he was over here to make it open next 75 and do work, good fella, a good mechanic, he could make some money right there, here around, had a place to make it open.
I don't see Buster's door open hard anymore. Does he
have? You don't have to. You know, he got lots of money when his dad and mother, and they beat, and Sam had money, and he pulled this on one of his uncles. He told me, he says, let me take your money and put it in my account for you to keep so you can get a check, you know. And he got his money and checked all of his money.
Got it on his account.
Yeah, you see, he
I didn't know he had any uncles.
Well, yes, he had... Sam Smith, and he had several uncles. Sam Smith and Uncle Johnny Smith. Uncle Johnny is the one he talked in to do it. Got Buster slick. He'd frame up on Brother when he was a little boy, you know. And all like that.
J.R.?
Yeah. J.R. is the best one, or used to be the best one of them. Of course, he don't seem to be too good, but he used to be... He was a better mechanic than Buster.
Yeah.
He was just a good... But he got tired of it, you know.
Yeah.
And he didn't... Yeah, he was a good mechanic.
Yeah.
Buster can do better than he can a lot of times. I watch him. I see him. I've had him take out new parts of mine, and when he knew it was new, just put in there and pick something that he didn't. I sit down and watch him do it. I sit down and watch him. I done some cotton work up for him, and he wasn't no use. I just wanted my left front wheel put. I'd had the rest of them all relined, you see. And I told him to fix my left one, you know. And I noticed instead of fixing the left one, he took off my right one, and he took off my new one. I just had put in a week before, new one the car had put in for me. And he took that one off and didn't fix one. I told him to. I was working up there doing some cotton work for him, you see, and I seen him, and I walked down there, and I noticed he took my car on the inside, and I had a brand new battery in there, and he's taking water out of my battery and putting one of his over. I didn't say nothing. I just said, well, you know, you said nothing. Well, I know I got to go so New York can get the rest.
I just got... Edison talking. We ought to go on out while it's a little light, oughtn't we?
Oh. That's a knife. It ain't got no gear back in it, is it? You know that joke I pulled on the other night?
Uh-uh.
And you asked her if it had any gear back in it. You said no, and I said, I just took my pocket there.
Oh.
That's just a joke.
Now, what does that say?
What'd you say? Didn't have any give back to it?
You know, we're looking, not sure it's mine. I don't follow just like his. You know?
Yeah.
We're talking about it, and I said, you got any give back? And we pulled it away, and he said, no. I said, I just take my pocket thing.
You don't have
I don't know. Did you catch it there? It was your kind
no,
of
no, I didn't. I missed that.
He didn't understand what I meant, you see.
Yeah.
It's just like this. You don't believe it to that time for Ben, do you?
No.
You don't?
Uh-uh.
You watch it.
Look
at
this.
Should
look like it's Ben.
It did. Did you ever see that done?
No.
You don't believe that time for Ben. Now, you just watch that. You watch that now.
All right. Oh, wait a minute. Look at that.
No, you do it that way.
All good.
You know what it is? It's your fingers. You move your fingers this way.
Oh, yeah.
And move back to mine.
Mr. we hate to see you go. We enjoyed your visit. So I'm going to have to drive up.
Wait a minute. I'm going to save this bottle first before that song.
We are hoping to have come out of town. And I'll have enough beer to give it to you.
Well, we'll see you, Mr. Weaver.
That's the end of the visit. Mr. Weaver traveled on right around 750-800. The end of the visit, Mr. Weaver, this Sunday, towards dark, the 19th of September, 71. Channel 1 right around 750-800, and about dark, Sunday, the 19th of September, 71. Channel 1 right around 750-800. The end of the visit, Mr. Weaver.